mentioned, I would like to discuss accessibility seen from a spatial and a social sciences perspective. In order to do this, I would like to focus on mobility design and its impacts on mobility behavior. So the main research question within this presentation is, how do mobility design elements influence accessibility, including the sub-questions, which mobility design elements exist, how could they be systemized, and another question, how do these elements affect mobility, in particular sustainable mobility. In order to answer these questions, I would like first of all, I would like to talk about accessibility, giving a definition and talk about the relationship between the environment and accessibility. Then I would like to focus on mobility design, giving an overview of mobility design definitions as well as mobility design elements and dimensions. Then I would like to discuss the integration of mobility design and accessibility, and to sum it up, I'll give a short conclusion at the end. So first of all, the term of accessibility. One of the most well-known definitions of accessibility was made by Hansen in 1959, who describes accessibility as the potential of opportunities for interaction, opportunities related to activities, for example, for work, for leisure, or for shopping. In general, the accessibility is determined by the options and conditions available within the place, for example, the transport infrastructures and transport services, but also it is determined by the skills of a person. For example, the physical ability to walk, or the ownership of a driver's license, or the information on which route to take to reach a certain destination. But I also would like to stress that not only the options and conditions and the skills are very important, but also the individual interpretation whether or not these options, conditions and skills are appropriate to reach a certain destination. The individual interpretation whether or not relates to the assessment of how difficult it is to reach a certain destination, and is also called behavioral control. So a popular description concerning the factors of accessibility was made by Gers and Van Wee in 2004. You can see it here illustrated. They also see individual components as a crucial factor, also comprising abilities, but also needs, income, gender, and other socio-demographic factors, but also some external factors. Of course, the transport component, referring to location and characteristics of transport services and infrastructures, characteristics, for example, travel time or travel costs, but also the land use component, that refers to the location and the distribution of opportunities and destinations. And the fourth factor relates to temporal component that concerns opening hours of shops and services, and also the available time for a person to reach a certain place. So as accessibility relates to the act of reaching a certain destination, not only the factors of the destination itself are crucial, but also the factors of the origin and the factors of the route to reach the destination, and also the environments surrounding these points. Environments can be defined as socio-physical entities built that include built and social objects that influence human behavior, but also are shaped by human behavior. So the accessibility is determined by the design and the layout of the environment, for example, by the design and the layout of buildings and infrastructures. So, but What are other factors or elements of mobility design that have an impact on accessibility? Therefore, I would like to present some definitions. There aren't so much definitions within the literature of mobility design. One of these definitions is from Edelman, who says mobility design relates to the means of transport, as well as to the networks and services within the visible and non-visible environment of transport, traffic, and logistics. Jensen defined mobility design as the nexus between design, among others, architecture, urban design, service design, and mobilities. He also claims that the design of spaces and artifacts influence mobile situations. Yeah. Seen from a design perspective, design objects may affect the user's perceptions and behavior by certain means. First of all, the practical functions that relate to the purpose and the operation of an object, for example, related to cars, the power of the engine, the speed a car can drive, and also comfort features of the car or the handling of a car. Aesthetical functions relate to the form, structure, and visualizations of objects, and they may provoke certain assessments concerning the objects, and therefore provoke certain feelings as well, such as well-being or disgust. For example, an open space with greenery may lead to a good feeling for the people who are in that open space. And the last function is the semantic function that refers to the content and information given by an object. For example, the information on how to handle an object, and but also more superior informations such as social norms that are conveyed by an object. In order to find out what mobility design elements exist, I did a literature review considering research work related to mobility design, as well as travel behavior and accessibility. The definition defined for myself is that mobility design is the total of artifacts that affect individual mobility, whether material or not material. And in order to provide a good overview of mobility design elements, I distinguish between three dimensions. First of all, the transport services and infrastructures, the built environment design elements, and the non-built environment design elements. Some similar distinctions has been made by several other works. For example, Gers and Van Wee also say that accessibility is influenced by the land use, the transport developments, and policy plans. So now I would like to go more into detail what mobility design elements exist. First of all, the transport services and infrastructures. Of course, these include streets, rails and paths, vehicles, stations and stops, interchanges, and also intermodal hubs. But also the characteristics are important, for example, doorways, seating, air conditioning, luggage, storage, lighting of public transit, passenger information, timetabling, pricing and ticketing, customer services and consulting, but also passenger flow management, for example, by means of signs or color-coded routes. There have been several works on the impact of these design elements on accessibility and travel behavior. First of all, of course, the availability of transport services and infrastructures play an important role. So if there isn't a bus stop within your reach, you won't be able to use the bus. But also the frequency of transport services are important, referring to the time of, to what time of the day the bus starts or leaves the station. But also characteristics do have an impact on accessibility and travel behavior. First of all, travel costs and time. So if you can't afford a ticket, you won't be able to access a certain means of transport or a certain destination. But also more subjective factors like convenience, reliability, comfort, and simplicity may influence the attitude towards a certain means of transport, and therefore your mobility behavior and accessibility. The second dimension I want to show is the dimension of built environment. This includes land use, settlement structures, and public spaces, and also the elements you can find within these public spaces concerning architecture, greenery, lighting, street furniture, weather protection, public arts, and other decorations. Here also, there are several studies concerning the impact of these factors on accessibility and travel behavior. First of all, several studies show that a high density and a high diversity of opportunities for action, of course, improve accessibility because you have more opportunities within your reach and not high distances to get to these opportunities. But also street network characteristics play a role. For example, short block lengths and a high density of intersections shorten the routes or the distances to your destinations, and so improve accessibility. But also the quality of public spaces play a role. For example, as I said before, the quality may influence the feelings within an environment. So, for example, greenery may lead to a good feeling or may lead to calm you down within this environment, and therefore also influences travel behavior and accessibility. The last dimension I want to present is the dimension of non-built environment, including legal regulations, policies, and social norms that can be arranged by incentives and restrictions. For example, speed limits or car-free zones, also education programs, as well as organization of processes or reorganization of processes. For example, if a company offers carpooling, you reorganize the way of using the car. Also very important is information and marketing campaigns. For example, you can see here the marketing campaign of the city of Munich promoting cycling, but not only municipal marketing campaigns exist, but also non-governmental and public institutions sometimes foster a certain form of mobility. Here also we can see some impacts on accessibility and travel behavior. First of all, municipal and company travel demand management programs are able to influence mobility behavior, for example, by means of consulting. And other communication and persuasion elements may have an impact as well. For example, as seen before, communication concerning public norms, social norms, for example, concerning the protection of the environment, and therefore, yeah, influencing travel behavior. So altogether, we have these three dimensions of mobility design, influencing accessibility and mobility behavior. But also, as I said before, there are individual prerequisites, such as the life situation, socio-demographic factors, abilities and skills, personal needs, goals and values, and the ownership of mobility tools, for example, the ownership of a car or a bike. But there are other personal or individual factors that play a role for and are influenced by the factors of mobility design. So related to the functions of design elements, transport services and infrastructures oftentimes represent practical and operational functions, and therefore influencing the attitudes towards certain means of transport and the behavioral control. So the assessment of a person if the usage of certain means of transport is possible or not. The built environment oftentimes relates to aesthetical functions, as I said before, public spaces that may provoke a certain feeling, and the non-built environment may relate to semantic functions, conveying social norms and superior information. So all of these design elements influence emotion, attitudes, behavioral control, and personal norms, together with the other individual prerequisites that can't be changed that easy. Accessibility and behavior is influenced. So I come to my conclusion. Mobility design elements include a broad variety of artifacts of transport services, the built environment and the non-built environment. It concerns different disciplines, scales and functions. The elements affect human perceptions and behavior in different ways and can foster accessibility and sustainable mobility. And at the end, I would like to show you a list of these mobility design elements that are related to non-motorized mobility in order to better understand how to foster non-motorized mobility, such as walking and cycling, related to the transport service and infrastructures, of course, the availability and the characteristics of the sidewalks or bike lanes are important. Also, the availability of road crossings and bridges, assigned traffic lights, signs, color-coded routes, related to the built environment. Land use density and diversity are crucial. Also the block lengths and the street network. Maybe there are barriers and level irregularities that prevent accessibility. Also the quality of open spaces is very important. Regarding the non-built environment, speed and traffic regulations for cars may foster non-motorized mobility. Also education about active modes and the benefits of active modes, and also marketing campaigns, whether municipal or made by a company. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.